السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبا القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومنهم الذين يؤذون النبي ويقولون هو أذن، قل أذن خير لكم يؤمن بالله ويؤمن للمؤمنين. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Chapter number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, also known as Surah Al-Bara'ah. This chapter begins with a statement of Bara'ah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prophets declare that there is no more contract between the believers and the polytheists. After many instances of treachery, treason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers that the polytheists whom you had written a contract with, that they shall not fight you and you shall not fight them, this contract is now over. This is the beginning of the chapter. And then the chapter begins to criticize different groups. So number one, the first group which is mentioned in this chapter are the mushrikeen, the polytheists. And then slowly the address begins to shift to different groups of people. It begins to shift to the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews who fought against the believers, the Muslims. And then it shifts towards the hypocrites. So from the polytheists to the people of the book to people who are even inside Islam, the hypocrites. And it mentions their attributes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs the Prophet of the existence of these hypocrites and what they will say and what they will do. What are their attributes? How to detect their hypocrisy. In this verse, verse number 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of some of the hypocrites. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ, among the hypocrites, are the ones that speak ill of the Prophet. وَمِنْهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ النَّبِيِّ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُنُ. They say he is أُذُن. The word udhun in the Arabic language refers to the ear. But udhun is also used to describe someone who lends his ear, who listens to what people have to say. So if I'm a person who listens to what people have to say, if I accept everyone, I don't reject anyone, I lend my ear to everyone, in Arabic I am referred to as udhun. And the literal meaning of the word udhun is ear, and a person who lends his ear to people. One implication of a person who lends his ear to everyone is that he believes everything which is said to him. So the hypocrites, this is what they were saying. They were saying that Rasulullah will believe everything that you tell him. وَمِنْهُمْ, among them, are those that speak behind the back of the Prophet. They backbite. They make ghibah. They gossip behind his back. Now this verse, the reason why it was revealed, it is because a group of hypocrites were criticizing the Prophet, they were speaking behind his back. And then when one person suggested to them that they do not speak behind the Prophet, that he is informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will find out. What did they say? They said no. Even if he is informed, and even if he asks us whether we are speaking behind his back, we will tell him no, we weren't speaking behind your back. And he will believe us, because he is udhun, because he lends his ear to the believers. Now first of all, the first thing that they said about Rasulullah was that he doesn't know. The information would not reach him. And this goes against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to the believers, that he hears you and that he is inspired, divinely inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that God can teach him and inform him of what God knows of himself. So even if you were to say something behind his back, even if you were to say something or do something not in his presence, he has access to it. وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلُكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do good. Allah will see that you have done good. His prophets will witness also that you have done good. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers will also witness that you have done good. According to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they are the believers which are mentioned in this verse. The believers who have access to our deeds. A man comes to the eighth Imam, Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa radha alayhi salam, and he says to him, Ya ibn Rasulullah, he says, I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for my family. The Imam tells him, not only do we pray for you, us, the Ahlul Bayt, not only do we pray for our followers, he says that your deeds are displayed in front of us every day and every night. We have access to what you do. Everything which we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives access to the Ahlul Bayt. And they are the ones who are, along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are watching over us and they are the ones caring for us. So because they spoke behind his back, they thought that the Prophet wasn't going to know, the Prophet wasn't going to understand. And this takes place in different parts of the Quran. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا. That the Prophet spoke of a secret to one of his wives. And he told his wife, this wife whom he disclosed the secret to, he asked her not to give away the secret. Do not speak it to anyone else. She disobeyed his command and she spoke the secret. So Allah informed him of this. So when he confronted her and he asked her, why did you dispel the secret? She said to him, قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا. Who told you? Who told you that I gave away the secret? He said that the one who gave me the secret, told me of this information, is the one who knows everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a prophet. His knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا؟ قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. The one who knows everything, he is the one who said to me. So, the hypocrites were speaking behind his back, thinking that he would not understand. He'd have no access to it. And then, what they said to themselves is that even if he knew that that we were speaking behind his back, we would deny it. And because he is a person who believes anything which is said to him, then we'll get away with it. Now this is the second attribute which they attributed to him, is that he'd believe everything that we tell him. Why? Because he lends his ear. And a person who lends his ear to everyone, supposedly he believes everything which is being said to him. As opposed to a person who doesn't want to hear it, who does not lend his ear to people. Allah says to them, if this is the case, that he believes everything that you say, if he listens to everything that you say, then this is good. This is a positive attribute. An attribute that a prophet, a leader should have is that he listens to people when they speak to him. And he does not ignore them. That's why the verse in the Quran which says, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى, that he frowned and he turned away. In other schools of thought, they say that this was the prophet. A blind man came to him and he wanted to seek his advice. And the prophet frowned, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى, he turned his face away. He did not want to listen to him. Whereas us in the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, we say it was not the Prophet, and it could not have been the Prophet. It could not have been the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that you have the greatest personality, you have the greatest characteristics. It is not becoming of the Prophet to turn away from someone and to frown in his face. One of my teachers was narrating one day. He said, one day I mentioned this. He was mentioning this on the pulpit. He said, I mentioned that this verse, in other schools of thought, in our school of thought, we say it could not be the Prophet. In our school of thought, we say that it was Uthman ibn Affan. He says, after the lecture, a man came to me from a different school of thought. And he said that, no, this verse was revealed in favor of the Prophet. I said, no, it wasn't revealed in the favor of the Prophet. It was revealed in the favor of Uthman ibn Affan. He looked at me and his jaw dropped. Uthman? How can Uthman frown and turn away from someone? Rasulullah can frown and turn away, but Uthman cannot. This is the tragedy of history that we live. So the Prophet was not to frown from people. He wasn't to turn his face. He was the most accommodating and the most accepting. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. The fact that the Prophet lent his ear to the believers, Allah says, أُذُنُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ, that this is a good attribute, that he listens to you. When you have problems, you go and you seek his advice. You talk to him. He listens to your problems. He understands your problems. And sometimes that's what we need. We need somebody to be able to listen to us. Not necessarily talk. A lot of people know how to talk. Not a lot of people know how to listen. The Prophet was one who listened to people, and then the verse says, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that he is a person who believes in God, he fears God, and he believes in you, and he trusts you, and he protects you. Would you rather have a Prophet who wouldn't listen to you? Would you rather have a Prophet who is rude and abusive and doesn't know his manners? Or would you have someone who is protective, someone who is righteous, someone who understands your concerns, someone who understands your problems? Amana, this is one of the greatest attributes that we could have, is when we listen to people, we don't go and broadcast what they're saying. When you listen to a person, if a person's complaining to you, if they talk to you about a problem, you don't go and broadcast to other people what this person is feeling. You don't broadcast the private lives of people. I was reading a hadith yesterday. The hadith was from the sixth Imam, Al-Imam Sadiq. And he was saying that the Prophet forbade us from doing many things, a list of things. And he went down the list one by one. What the Prophet would admonish his people to refrain from. What the Prophet would tell people not to do. Among the things which the Prophet forbade us from doing, his followers, is going after, seeking the faults of people. Looking into the private lives of people just to find a fault. And when we find that fault, we broadcast it to others. He said, for those people who look for the faults in people's lives, those people shall not depart this life before Allah sends them a person to do the exact same thing to them. That God will send a person to broadcast their faults in the same way that they have tried to broadcast other people's faults. There's a line of poetry in Arabic. It says, it speaks of the how we should use our tongues and how we should use our eyes. It says, لسانك لا تذكر به عورة امرئ فكلك عورات وللناس ألسن. He says, do not use your tongue to broadcast the faults of others. For in the same way that other people have faults and you have a tongue, you are full of faults yourself, and other people also have tongues, other people have mouths. وعيناك, your eyes. وعيناك إن أبدت إليك معايبا فدعها وقل يا عين للناس أعينوا. And if your eyes happen to see something, gaze upon something which they should not gaze upon. Something private, something that you shouldn't be looking at. فدعها, let it go, turn your eyes away. For other people also have eyes. In the same way that you have a private life, and you don't want people's eyes gazing upon your private life, your mistakes and your shortcomings, then don't look at other people's private life. Don't look at people's private life and search their mistakes and their faults and their shortcomings just to broadcast them. God will send a person who will do the exact same thing to you. Amana is very important, that when we hear, we are protective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most protective. And He covers our sins and He covers our faults and He does not broadcast them to others. Imagine if people knew about our sins and our mistakes. People who have a conscience, not people who don't have a conscience. If a person doesn't have conscience and he doesn't care what other people think, this doesn't apply. But to a believer who cares about his reputation, who cares about his faith, who cares about his well-being, imagine if people knew about our sins and our mistakes and our shortcomings. We wouldn't want to show our face to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us. He says, I won't show anybody your mistakes. I won't show anybody your sins. I won't show anyone your evil deeds. All of that is protected. When does it become apparent? On the Day of Judgment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands us for judgment. And there are some deeds which even the angels who record our deeds, they don't have access to. وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ We read in Dua Kumail, Oh Allah, You are the one who protected my deeds even from the angels. Even the angels have no access to our deeds, our evil, our mistakes, our shortcomings. If we want God to be protective of us, and if we do not want God to broadcast our faults in front of others, then we should have the same attributes. We should not gossip, we should not slander, we should not backbite. All of that's going to come back to us, brothers and sisters. Amana is extremely important. Protecting people's rights. When a person speaks to you, that is a right which he is giving to you. His secrets isn't something cheap, it's something which is valuable. It's a right that belongs to him that he is sharing with you. In the same way that he would share his wealth, or he would share his time, or he would share his property, all of this is a right. The fourth Imam, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin, alayhi salam, he says the following. He says that if my father's murderer, the man who murdered my father, Imam Hussein, Shimr ibn Dil-Jawshan, the man who executed Imam Hussein, he says, if this man was to give me his sword for as an amana for me to protect and safeguard, I would return it to him upon request. It doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter what he has done. He has trusted me with something. And regardless of his background, regardless of his religion, regardless of his color or his language, if he's trusted me with something, then I have to have the integrity and the honor and the dignity to return it to him upon request. This is the definition of a believer. Al-Muslimu man salima an-nas min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is a person not who prays, 50 prayers a day, or performs the Hajj every single year, or gives all his money to charity, or helps orphans, and does this and does that. When Ibrahim built the house of Allah, when the Prophet Ibrahim built the house of Allah and he was proud of himself, God told him, are you happy and are you proud? He says, yes, I'm proud. He says, what have you done, Ibrahim? Did you feed a poor person? Did you clothe a person who didn't have clothing? What service did you offer? Why are you proud of yourself? Al-Muslimu man salima an-nas min lisanihi wa yadihi. Muslim is those who other people, regardless of their religion and their race, they are safe from his lisan, his tongue, meaning his speech. Wa yadihi, his hand, his actions. Meaning if I find a person who I'm not afraid and I don't worry that this person is going to talk behind my back, if I'm not afraid that this person is going to make up lies and slander and gossip behind my back, and if I know he's not going to steal from me, and if I know he's not going to hurt me, that is a definition of a Muslim. But if he says, if he testifies that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the final messenger, but he's the worst of the worst, you can't trust him with anything, then he's not a Muslim by definition. And this is the definition that Rasulullah gives himself. Al-Muslimu man salima an-nas min lisanihi wa yadihi. So, listening is an excellent attribute. Allah is telling the hypocrites, do not get it mistaken. Don't think that just because the Prophet lends his ear to you, that's a bad thing. And then don't think that just because he's lending his ear to you, that he's going to believe everything that you say. That's not the case. The Prophet is there to listen to you. He's there to give you advice. He's here to listen to your concerns and your faults and your secrets. Anything that you give to Rasulullah, anything that you say to him will be safe. قُلْ أُذْنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. And the Prophet is here also to believe in you and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your mercy. Now, if we want to walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since we are his followers, since we claim to be his followers, we must also learn from his attributes. Being a good listener is an excellent attribute. Many people know how to talk. A lot of people know how to talk. If you ask them to talk about anything, they'll talk and they'll go on and on and on and they won't stop. Not a lot of people possess the art of listening. A lot of people don't know how to listen. And when I speak about listening, I speak about active listening. See, in Arabic we have two things. We have suma' and istima'. What's the difference between suma' and istima'? Suma' means to hear. I'm hearing noise. If someone is talking in a different room, I can hear that noise. That's just hearing. I can't make out what they're saying, and I'm not attentively listening. Istima' is the opposite. Istima' is when you hear and when you listen. And not a lot of people know how to listen attentively. And having a successful relationship, whether it's with a partner, whether it's with a friend, whether it's with, you know, it could be a business partner, a co-worker, a teacher, whatever, that requires good communication skills. The way we communicate with each other is through speaking and through listening. It's not through, you know, divine inspiration. If I want to say something to my partner, you know, an angel doesn't descend to my partner and tell him, this is what your partner is thinking. Or it's not through telepathy. It's not like I can get to my, you know, partner by putting my hand on my brain, making them understand what I'm saying. And it's not through text messaging either. It's through speaking. Proper communication comes through speaking and through listening. Anything that you say cannot be conveyed with text messages and emails, putting, you know, little smiley faces and emoticons. None of that reflects your true emotions. It's, you know, it's cute, it's fun, none of it reflects your true emotions. The only way you can really reflect your true emotions is by speaking in person. So actively listening to people. Actively listening to people. When you speak to them, you are engaged. You make eye contact. You listen to their voice. You listen what they're trying to say. You listen to them not with the intention of arguing, not with the intention of replying. This is referred to as what in the Quran? Listening with the intention of argument. What is argument? The word for argument in the Quran. Jidal. Jidal is argument. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, if they come to you, the non-believers, and they just want to argue, they want to talk, but they're not trying to get anywhere. All they want to do is argue, useless facts. He says, فَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Then you have also permission to argue with them as well. So listening attentively is extremely important. Not being a selective listener, not being a selective learner. A selective listener is a person who will hear what you're saying, but they'll listen and they'll take in only that which benefits them. They'll hear only that which benefits them. This is called selective listening and selective learning. It's said that one day there was a group of people at an alcoholics meeting, and the person who was presenting was trying to convince them of the evils of alcohol, the ramifications that it can have, the detrimental effects that it can have on your body. So he brought to them some alcohol, some very potent alcohol, and he threw some nails in it. And after a while, the nails, they began to rust or disintegrate. They were affected negatively. So he looked to them and he said, what do you learn from this? What does this teach us? Now, what's the point? The point is that if it's detrimental, if it can have this effect on nails, then it's definitely going to have an effect on your stomach. Your stomach is only made of, you know, tissue. So one person raises his hand and he says, I'll fill my stomach with alcohol so there won't be any nails in it. Now, what's this? That's selective learning. You've heard what you've wanted to hear. You've interpreted a meaning that you've wanted to interpret. Do not be a selective listener. Do not be a selective learner. The Quran says the exact opposite. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the believers are this attribute. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Those who listen to what is being said, and then they follow the best of what is being said. They can distinguish between what is useful and what is useless. It doesn't say people who only listen to what they want to hear. It doesn't say people who only, you know, they've surrounded themselves with people from their background, who only speak their language, who follow the same school of thought, who follow the same religion. They only surround themselves, and if anyone else says anything, they won't accept anything from them. They hear what is being said, if it's useful, and then they can distinguish between what is useful and what is not useful. So there's two types of selective listening. There's the good and the bad. The good is this kind, where you listen to what is being said, and then you follow the good. The bad type of selective listening is when you listen for the purpose of argument. Some people hear and they listen only for the purpose of argument. What falls under this category is selective transmission. Meaning when you hear something and you transmit only that which benefits you. And this is where the Quran and the Hadith warns the believers. Do not selectively take that which benefits you. Do not learn that which you want to learn, and stay ignorant towards that which does not benefit you. Everything is a package. The Quran is a package. You take one part, you have to accept another part. The Hadith is a package. The teachings of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Don't be a selective learner and don't be a selective listener. If I say right now, if I'm standing up here and I say the statement, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. And there's an atheist sitting in the crowd, and then he goes to his friend and he says, look, at the Muslim center they said, La ilaha, there is no Lord. So they believe that there is no Lord. That's selective listening. I said that there is no God but Allah, but you took one piece and you transmitted it. So selective learning, selective listening, and selective transmission. Now here's the history lesson. In history, what we found was people who selectively transmitted. They would selectively transmit the words of Rasulullah, the Prophet, and that of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. I mentioned the hadith maybe about a week or 10 days ago. It says that there are people, and this is an authentic hadith, that there are people who would listen to the words of Imam Ali, Amin al-Mu'mineen, the first Imam, and then they would ask him about things which they did not know about. When he would provide them with an answer, they would take that answer and they would twist it. And they would provide that answer to other people, but it would be fabricated. It would be completely twisted and it would be completely interpreted in a wrong manner. So what would they do? They would selectively transmit. If it benefited them, they would transmit it. If it did not benefit them, they would interpret it. This is an evil attribute to have. If you remember, we spoke about the most important attribute that a narrator can have. What did we say? What's the most important attribute that a narrator of hadith could have? Is it that he's Sunni? Or he's Shi'i? Or he's the follower of Fulan? Or the follower of Fulan? Or he speaks Farsi? Or he speaks Arabic? Or he speaks Italian? Or what was the most important attribute? Trustworthiness, sincerity, honesty. This, unfortunately, was not found in a lot of people. Case in point, Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah would narrate from Rasulullah selectively. And he was not honest and he was not sincere in his transmission. There's a book which was written in the last century by an Egyptian Sunni scholar by the name of Sheikh Mahmoud Abu Riya. He wrote a book called Al-Adwa' al-Sunnah al-Muhammadiyah, Reflections upon the Prophetic Tradition. So this book was a critique. What went wrong with transmitting the hadith of Rasulullah? Because not everything which we hear from Rasulullah is authentic. We know this. There's lots of things which we read or we read now which we know is fabricated. In this book he mentions Abu Hurairah and the case of Abu Hurairah. Now Abu Hurairah was a man who migrated to Medina 7 years after the Hijrah. So 3 years before the Prophet passed away, he migrated with his people to Medina. He migrated right after the Battle of Khaybar. So when the spoils of war were being divided amongst the Muslims during the Battle of Khaybar, he was among the people to receive some of the spoils of war. According to his own testimony, he says that I followed Rasulullah out of hunger. He says, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal narrates this. He says, إِنِّي كُنْتُمْ رَئِنْ مِسْكِينًا أَصْحَبُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَدْءِ بَطْنِي. He says that I was a poor man that came to Rasulullah and I befriended him, I became his companion so I can fill my stomach. He was hungry. Which is okay, there's nothing wrong with following Rasulullah. Rasulullah is a man of blessing and he's a man of generosity. But this did not work to his advantage. His hunger didn't work to his advantage. I'll show you why. He says that the best person, this is what Abu Hurairah says, he says the best person after Rasulullah was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the brother of Imam Ali. Why? Because Ja'far would feed him every time. Every time they would get together, and every time people would, you know, go to their homes to eat, Ja'far would invite him in for a meal. He says this guy is the best person after Rasulullah. And this is where he gained his nickname, Shaykh al-Mudira. Al-Mudira, or al-Madira, is a type of, it's a food, it's a dish which consists of meat which is cooked in yogurt, and it's, you know, it's high in fat, it really hits the spot, michaspe, it's really, you know, it's really heavy. So he gained this name, Shaykh al-Madira. And he used to say the following. He used to say that I follow Muawiyah because he knows how to prepare this meal. But I pray behind Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because the madira which Muawiyah offers, you know, it fills me up and it keeps me going. However, the prayer, if I want to benefit from my prayer, then I pray behind Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he was swayed due to his hunger. What are you going to do? The man was affected by his hunger. And this is how he gained this nickname, Shaykh al-Mudira. Now, here is the problem. You know, he was hungry, that's fine, it's okay. He was poor, that's fine. That doesn't affect his honesty and his sincerity. When you begin to study his history, there are numbers which don't add up. Abu Huraira narrated in all the books of hadith, 5,374 hadith. And he was only with Rasulullah for less than 3 years. By his own testimony, and here's where the problem is. By his own testimony, he says that Abdullah ibn Amr, another companion, he says that this companion narrated more than me. And he is the only person to narrate more hadith than I did. Why? Because Abdullah ibn Amr used to know how to read and write, and I did not know how to read and write. I would hear and I would memorize and I would have other people write for me. How many did Abdullah ibn Amr narrate? He narrates 1,400 hadith. Well, by your own testimony, you're saying this man narrates more than I did, 1,400. How are you narrating 5,734? Where does the rest come from? Where do these ahadith come from? Now, not a lot of people were tolerant towards him. During the second time of the second Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Umar ibn al-Khattab was very strict with him. And he did not allow him to narrate hadith. And there is in one instance where he refers to him as عَدُوَ اللَّهُ وَعَدُوَ رَسُولِهِ, the enemy of Allah and the enemy of his Prophet. He would tell him, where are you getting these hadith from? We were with Rasulullah for years, we never heard any of these hadith. And you were only with him for 3 years? Where did you bring these hadith from? He would question him. Now how did it happen? Again, by his own testimony. He says that I heard. He says this. He says, I heard Rasulullah say that if you hear anything about me which is good, narrate it. Anything which anyone says to you, that Rasulullah did this, that Rasulullah did that, narrate it. Go ahead and narrate it. Write it down. Even if you did not hear it from me, even if you think it is not true, if it sounds good, for instance, say, Rasulullah, he used to pray Salatul Layl 3 times a night instead of 1 time a night. It doesn't make sense. But since it sounds good, and since there's encouragement for people to pray Salatul Layl, the night prayer, then narrate it. That's not the standard. We don't narrate what sounds good. We narrate what actually happened. We narrate based on clear facts. And this is where Abu Hurairah deviated. And this played against him, that he would narrate everything that he heard, and even things which he did not hear. As long as they sounded good, he would narrate them. So this is selective listening, and this is selective transmission. One thing which also led to people not depending on his hadith is the fact that he was a companion and a friend of Ka'b al-Ahbar. Who was Ka'b al-Ahbar? Ka'b al-Ahbar was a Jewish man who supposedly accepted Islam, but in reality he never accepted Islam. And he infiltrated the companions of Rasulullah, and he would narrate stories which his elders had narrated to him. Fables, things which never existed. People and places which did not exist. He would narrate them. So he would visit Ka'b al-Ahbar, and then he would visit a companion of Rasulullah, and then he would visit Rasulullah, and then he would begin to narrate, and he would not distinguish who said what. And that's why you find, even in Sahih Bukhari, which is considered an authentic book in the Sunni school of thought, that there are narrations from Abu Hurairah which go back to Ka'b al-Ahbar, a Jewish man. There aren't narrations of Rasulullah. They have nothing to do with Rasulullah. And people would reprimand him, and they would remind him. Even Lady Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, she told him, Abu Hurairah, where are you narrating these ahadith from? We did not hear this from Rasulullah. Do you know what his reply was to her? He said, go back to your mirror and your makeup. You don't understand anything of the hadith of Rasulullah. Amir al-Mu'mineen says the biggest liar upon Rasulullah was Abu Hurairah. Abu Hanifa says there are 3 people which I do not accept their hadith unless somebody else corroborates what they have said. He says these 3 people which I do not accept their hadith are Samara bin Jundub, number 1, number 2, Anas ibn Malik, and number 3, Abu Hurairah. He says, I don't accept their hadith. Meaning that as long as another person doesn't say, I heard Rasulullah say the same thing, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, any other of the companions, I don't accept what he said. So these are people not accepting his hadith. Why? Because he would selectively transmit. He would hear something from Rasulullah, and something from a companion, and something from a Jewish man, and then he would mix these hadith. This person said this, and that person said that. And now how many times do we hear the hadith of Abu Hurairah? As if he was the smartest, you know, most honest, most sincere man on earth. He narrates things which have no presence in Islam. He says that on the planet Earth there are 4 rivers which are from heaven. The Nile, the Euphrates, and 2 other rivers from Central Africa. From Central Asia. When you look at the books of hadith, you find this nowhere else. Ka'b al-Ahbar, he was the one who promoted this idea, that there are 4 rivers from heaven, and on earth they are fulan, and this and this and that. Meaning he took this fact from Ka'b al-Ahbar, a Jewish man, and he introduced it into Islam, as if it was prophetic tradition. And I'll leave you with one more hadith, which says the following. Abu Hurairah narrates upon the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the 3 umana, umana means what? Umana is the plural of amin. Amin is a trustworthy person, a truthful person. He says that Rasulullah says that the 3 trustworthy people are whom? Jabra'il, myself, and who's the 3rd? Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Muawiyah, whom the Prophet said that if you see him on my minbar, stab him in the stomach. Muawiyah, who when the Prophet would call upon, would not heed to his call because his jaw was moving, because he was eating. So Allah said, so the Prophet said, he raised his hand in dua, he said, may Allah never make this Muawiyah full, ever. He eats so much, let him eat until his death. And that's exactly what happened. He ate until his death. So the three trustworthy people, Abu Hurairah says, are Rasulullah, Jibreel, and Muawiyah. Is this the kind of hadith that we accept? So selective transmission, selective learning, and selective listening, these are not good attributes for us to have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the believers are those who listen, and then they are able to distinguish between right and wrong. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهِ They hear what is being said, and they can distinguish the good from the bad. They can distinguish that which is pure from that which is impure. They can distinguish that which is honest and sincere from that which is a fabrication and that which is blasphemy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us these attributes in this holy month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to listen attentively and to be there for believers when they need us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and forgive us and have mercy upon us in this holy month inshaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma fil al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat tabi' baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat innaka mujibu al-da'wat innaka qadil hajat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين